On price, because of the attractions of Iraqi oil and the enormous long-term potential, Tillerson approved terms that would involve less gross profit than ExxonMobil normally sought, as little as $2 per barrel. He seemed to accept the judgment of analysts such as Nordine Eitlaoussine, a former Algerian oil minister who had reopened his country to foreign investment before Iraq. In the Middle East, at least, Eitlaoussine said, "The days of 12% to 18% returns are gone. Perhaps they should lower their expectations on earnings." In ExxonMobil's case, that would be plausible only if it could add to the resource base. On reserve booking, the corporation turned to its lawyers. The question was whether ExxonMobil could find contract terms that would allow it to book Iraqi oil as proved reserves without forcing Iraq's government to accept production sharing or other contract forms typically rejected in the Arab world on nationalistic grounds. As far back as the 1980s, after Saudi Arabia nationalized its oil industry, Exxon lawyers had worked on contract formulations that might allow the kingdom to claim full ownership over its oil before its people, in a credible political sense, while structuring Exxon's position in a particular deal so that, even short of outright ownership, the SEC rules would nonetheless recognize the corporation's right to book reserves for Wall Street. Now ExxonMobil and other international oil corporations, in final negotiations with Iraq's oil ministry, returned to some of these earlier contract ideas. They agreed, as one element, to be paid for their technical work in the southern oil fields in the form of oil rather than in cash. By now they were confident that they could sort out the Kuwait reparations matter by having the United Nations issue an international legal opinion affirming that their oil should not be garnished. ExxonMobil wrote up lawyerly terms describing their rights to that oil in ways that they believed conformed to SEC requirements, and talked these through with Baghdad's negotiators. Late in 2009, Firbuchen and the president of ExxonMobil Upstream Ventures, Rob Franklin, at last closed the deal, after months of private negotiations with Iraqi officials, for exclusive access to Iraq's West Kurna Phase 1 oil project. The field contained at least 8.7 billion barrels, a behemoth by industry standards. ExxonMobil agreed to apply new technology and modern techniques to raise the field's production from its current 300,000 barrels per day to more than 2.3 million barrels per day within 6 years, taking a gross profit of only $1.90 per barrel, below the $2 per barrel remuneration fee Iraq had specified at the first unsuccessful auction. The deal was structured so that ExxonMobil first had to increase the field's production to 10,000 barrels per day higher than the peak production achieved under Saddam Hussein. After that, ExxonMobil was permitted to take its $1.90 premium as oil in kind. ExxonMobil kept secret the full terms of the deal, so it was difficult to judge how profitable it might ultimately become. Deutsche Bank predicted that ExxonMobil might earn a 19% rate of return from West Kurna when all factors were considered, comfortably within the corporation's targets for profitability worldwide. An initial agreement between ExxonMobil and Iraq stalled. The corporation asked for advocacy from the Obama administration's Baghdad embassy to resolve the impasse. ExxonMobil has again approached Post, seeking renewed advocacy to Prime Minister Maliki, the embassy reported to Washington. Post will continue to press the issue at senior levels. The Obama administration's lobbying helped. The deal went through. 18 months after the signing, ExxonMobil had crossed the contract threshold and was loading Iraqi crude into supertankers in the Persian Gulf that could hold 2 million barrels at a time. The U.S. Embassy in Baghdad estimated that the work of ExxonMobil's partnership in West Kurna alone would raise Iraq's oil production by 2 million barrels per day within 6 to 8 years. Royal Dutch Shell was ExxonMobil's junior partner. BP worked nearby, under very similar terms, in the Zubair field. Iraq's government hoped that the country's long-promised potential as a 6-million-barrel-per-day power in global oil markets would soon be realized. Just more than 7 years after American soldiers and Marines poured over the Kuwaiti border into Iraq, ExxonMobil shareholders owned, on paper at least, a small slice of the country's oil reserves. 7 years was almost precisely the length of time Lee Raymond had predicted when the war began, that it would take for Iraq to be calm enough for big oil companies to enter. I wouldn't say the profit margins have unlimited potential, said the corporation's Rob Franklin. On the other hand, he noted, we're confident you can book the reserves.